This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time, John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's always great to have you.
It's always great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk about a couple of issues before we get to your latest round of political prognostications for the midterm elections. First of all, the president hitting the campaign trail, trying to help as many Democrats as he feels will benefit from his presence in their state or district. We're seeing him mainly in the Pacific Northwest and along the West Coast over the past 24 hours or so, Oregon, Washington State, and eventually California. How big of a difference can he make in some of these traditionally left-leaning states?
None at all. Many of his own constituency is angry at him for abandoning the liberal agenda, notably the cause of public option in the health care bill and accepting what they consider a watered-down version. On the other hand, the president serves as a lightning rod to conservatives and backers of the Republican Party, and we've heard all about these polls showing the enthusiasm factor. Clearly, there's more enthusiasm among those opposed to the Obama politics than those in favor of it. I don't think he helps a bit, and he'd be better off if he sent Biden or the First Lady.
Well, they are both out there as well, and at least on one occasion, the first couple was together at a major event. John, also, as long as we're out on the West Coast, California, the scene of this Judge Virginia Phillips, who has declared Don't Ask, Don't Tell unconstitutional, then ordered that it be implemented immediately, forcing the Pentagon to start accepting openly gay enlistees. Then, of course, the government, the administration, appealing that to the Ninth Circuit, and a three-judge panel has stayed the original decision, which means that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is still the law for now. How does this look from the perspective of the administration, which technically wants to do away with this policy, just not like this?
No, it does not, and it wants to implement change gradually, as we saw. It also puts the administration's Justice Department in a very awkward position because it now has to defend maintaining Don't Ask, Don't Tell for a while, even as the administration hopes to scuttle it. My own feeling is that this kind of thing happens an awful lot. We saw, for example, the Bush administration forced to defend campaign finance laws that it was at best, lukewarm about. So this is not a surprise. My own guess is eventually Don't Ask, Don't Tell will fade, but it will be the Pentagon and the White House that calls the shots on this.
John, let's move on to your political prognostications now. Over the past couple of weeks, we've taken a look at some of the most important Senate races, gubernatorial races, House races, and as we get closer to Election Day, the predictions get harder. So let's move into some of these races that are now considered toss-ups, although there are still slight edges one way or another. Let's start in Kentucky. Jim Bunning is retiring. Rand Paul is the Republican nominee against Jack Conway, the Democrat. Paul has been ahead for most of the general election season. Now a lot of polls show it within the margin of error.
Well, again, when you're just hit all the time, like the carpet bombing of Iraq under Saddam Hussein, you're bound to bleed a little bit, and this is what's happened to Rand Paul. He has all the money that he needs, a fervent organization, and even people who disagree with him like the plain-spokenness about this doctor, another Dr. Paul. My guess is he wins by a minimum of 5 points.
Let's move to neighboring Illinois. This is the seat once held by President Obama, then, of course, became the focal point of that entire Blagojevich scandal. Roland Burris is not running for a full term. It's Republican Congressman Mark Kirk against Democratic banker and Obama ally Alexei Janulius. It's basically a dead heat right now.
In Illinois, there is voter animosity that has never abated against the Democratic machine and against corruption, symbolized by former Governor Rod Blagojevich. The Republican candidate for governor, Bill Brady, will be an easy winner, and the beneficiary of his win will be Mark Kirk, who will win the Senate race, albeit in a close contest.
And let's head even further north. Wisconsin, three-term Democrat Russ Feingold, now considered an underdog against Republican businessman Ron Johnson. It's a state that Republicans have felt competitive in for many years but haven't had a lot of victories to show for it. So will this be the year the Republicans actually win there?
Yes. Mr. Johnson is a political newcomer, a businessman, and an outsider, and all of those things really sell in 2010. Russ Feingold, while sometimes being a maverick, has been in elective office for more than 20 years, in the Senate for 18 years. His time's up.
All right, John, let's move over to some Let's move over to some gubernatorial races now. Most of the experts are suggesting that Republicans will certainly have a majority of these, but there are quite a few toss-ups. Let's start in Oregon, where it is John Kitzhaber, the former two-term governor, running for the office once again against Republican Chris Dudley, who's best known for playing for the Portland Trail Blazers. He's 6'10", would be the tallest governor in the nation. Surprisingly, in a left state like Oregon, this is a dead heat as well.
Well, again, this shows how things are changing in 2010, and economic issues are taking precedent, and when voters don't like something, they'll try something else. I say Dudley will make the winning shot, and it won't even need extra time for the win.
Let's move on to Rhode Island now. It's a very Democratic state, but it's had a Republican governor for quite a while. Now there's a three-man race there. It looks like the Republicans certainly won't be coming out on top because it looks like it's the Democrat Frank Caprio against the independent and former Republican Lincoln Chafee, who ends up on top.
Easily, the Republican nominee will win. He's an Army Ranger as well as an articulate spokesman, very much like the late White House Press Secretary Tony Snow. He served as Governor Canceri's Director of Communications. I say he beats Caprio and Link Chafee.
Oh, wow, that'd be a major upset right there if that were to be the case. John, let's move down to Florida. In addition to a Senate race that is not as close as most people suspect that it would be, there is a pretty tight governor's race down there, Democrat Alex Sink against the Republican Rick Scott, who was a surprising winner of the GOP primary.
I say, and this is where I show that I'm not just predicting a Republican tsunami and not a typhoon. There's always going to be safe harbors out there for the Democrats, and one of them is Florida, Alex Sink, and that's Miss Alex Sink, the chief financial officer of Florida, will narrowly defeat healthcare CEO Rick Scott. And an interesting factoid about her, her grandfather was one of the famous Siamese twins that appeared in circuses at the close of the 19th century and early 20th century.
Very interesting. John, next week we'll get your final count on governorships, the breakdown of the Senate as well as the House of Representatives. So get out that calculator and we'll be ready for you next week.
Looking forward to it as I prepare for my rendezvous with Destiny November 2nd. I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.